This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Welcome to Resource Center, the show where we discuss the tools and techniques you need to be at the forefront of the ever-evolving world of business. This is Audrey Raj. So earlier this June, KPMG in Malaysia ran its HR health check exercise, a complimentary service they offer clients to gather information on what various organizations are concentrating on and how good their HR health is. Now, this year's HR health check was bound to be an interesting one as organizations around the world grappled with a whole bunch of challenges because of the pandemic. So we've invited Sharmini and Jacob, Executive Director at KPMG in Malaysia, to talk to us through this year's health check results. Now, Sharmini leads the People and Change team at KPMG, and she's going to walk us through the key themes from this year's report, identify areas for improvement, and give us some possible remedies to get our HR health back on track. Sharmini, thanks for joining me on the show again. Hope you've been well. Now, let's just start with the basics on a HR health check. You know, what is it and why should organizations want to get one done?
All right. So the HR health check is basically a diagnostic tool used to gain an in-depth understanding of how your HR department is functioning, you know, as well to gauge how well it is helping you in achieving its overall purpose and departmental objective within the organization. The KPMG HR Health Check is actually a complementary tool that we are giving out. And in this case, it measures 9 functions within the HR department, you know, starting from the HR strategy, policies and procedures, your recruitment strategy, learning and development, right down to your HR information system. The idea here is through KPMG's HR health check, you can improve the effectiveness of your HR function within your organization. It identifies and helps you address causes related to HR, okay? And it gives HR an opportunity to grow and improve itself and enhance the employee experience. And last but not least, because there's that recruitment and talent management element in it, it also helps your organization stand out for future employees, you know, so helps you with your recruitment at the end of the day.
And based on this year's health check, how are Malaysian organizations faring? You know, are they ready to tackle certain HR aspects, especially during, you know, I hate to use the term unprecedented, but it is an unprecedented time, right?
Yeah,
so how are they doing?
So the eruption of the pandemic has extensively accelerated the adoption of digitalization and remote working models, you know, and as you mentioned, you know, it's unprecedented times. And the HR role has become even more important now in supporting the organization's strategy and operations to respond and adapt to this new normal. I mean, like, we've been in this pandemic for 18 months now, you know, going through MCO, CMCO, back to MCO, RMCOs, and so on. And this has actually prompted organizations to relook at their HR health and identify key elements that need to be improved. In general, I think the responses we collected from the various organizations, most were healthy, you know. However, obviously, there are always room for improvements, you know. And there are a few areas that we've actually identified, the two key ones being employee engagement and talent management. Okay, now why employee engagement? Because one of the things we found out is there are some organizations that have scored as low as 18% in employee engagement, which means they are not looking at employee engagement at all. You know, and especially now, organizations need to prioritize their employee experience and well-being because this will help you stay connected to your people. If you think about it, when we were in the office, it was difficult enough to stay connected to your people, let alone now your office, like in KPMG's case, it's 2,000 different locations.
Yeah.
Because we've got 2,000 over people and you're looking at 2,000 different locations and not just one office building or a few, depending on where we are. You know, so this now employee engagement becomes even more important. You know, how do you stay connected to your people? How do you make sure that your people are continuously motivated and through this motivation have productivity in play as well? You know, because if your employees are not motivated, they're not going to produce. They're not going to be able to work. Okay, so, and that's where your employee engagement comes in.
What about talent management?
Yeah, so on talent management now, where if you think about it, talent management is basically managing your people. So it's in line with employee engagement as well. Now, pre-COVID, companies were doing a lot of trainings. They were looking at reskilling and upskilling. Now, a lot of them have actually continued the trainings and learnings as much as possible. However, there's another element of talent management which a lot of organizations fall short, and that's the succession planning part. You know, so if you think about succession planning, is who's going to take over key positions if the person currently there retires, or even worse, resigns? You know, at least if the person retires, you know, okay, in 1 year, 2 years, so-and-so is going to retire, so we need to start identifying a successor. And the funny part is, even though a lot of organizations know that, they still don't plan for it. And then when the day comes for the person to leave or retire, they're shocked and go, oh, there's no successor. And what happens then is you have to scramble to find a successor, either internally from the organization or externally. And both take time and money, which organizations cannot afford, especially if it's a key position.
Right. Now, based on the HR health check report, you know, were there any other emerging themes that HR professionals need to pay attention to, or organizations in general need to pay attention to?
Yeah. So our analysis showed that there were 6 emerging themes from the various organizations that took part in this. The first one is capability building. So it goes back to what I mentioned just now, you know, employee engagement and talent management. You know, capability building is crucial in developing a competent workforce. If you think about it, when you are in an organization, you go in saying this is my talent, or this is what I bring to the organization. But organizations then need to take that talent that you have and build it into a competency that is required for the organization. It's no point me saying I'm a HR person and then go in and do finance work. You're not building me up, you know. So you need to match the individuals to the competencies that they were hired to do, and then refine them, reskill them, upskill them, you know, do whatever's necessary so that they become relevant to the organization. That's number one. In our analysis, we found that only 50% of the organization have actually conducted job analysis to determine the competencies needed for a particular job. And that's a scary number.
So half of us are not entirely prepared for the jobs that we're taking on. Am I understanding this correctly?
No. So it basically means that 1 in 2 organizations, according to our analysis, the numbers may differ slightly, you know, but basically 1 in 2 organizations hire people without knowing what the competencies are needed for a job.
Okay. And that's quite scary, because that means that your recruitment process is flawed to a certain extent.
Yep, exactly. Chances are, if you think about it, people end up leaving, and this may be one of the key reasons why people leave, because they do not, they come in expecting to do one thing and then they end up having to do something else, which is out of their comfort zone. And if there's no proper capability building or training given to them, they're never going to get out of that comfort zone. So the only solution for them then is to leave the organization. And it's time and money to the organization because it's costing you to hire the person. You've brought in the person and now the person's left. So you have to restart that whole process again.
Yeah, it literally is time and money. What's the third trend, Shamini?
So the second one, as I mentioned, was succession planning. Third one is employee well-being. Especially now with this whole pandemic ongoing, you know, people end up being working in silos and they forget what it's like to work in a team. Yes, we've got Microsoft Teams, we've got Zoom, we've got, you know, whatever collaboration tools there are out there, but nothing beats that face-to-face interaction. So now that we are forced to work in silos, you know, for the lucky few like me who actually have other people that I know living in the same house, you know, I'm fine. I get that human interaction, that face-to-face interaction still. But what about those that are living alone in a room with not even knowing who their housemates are? You know, so that's where the company needs to step in and help with well-being. The next one is use your data that is available in your organization. Okay. HR needs to become more data driven. Now, basically what that means is if you've got a HRIS, there is a lot of information in there. Use that information, analyze it, and help your people.
You said HRIS. What does that mean?
Shamini. HR information system,
basically.
You know, so there's various systems that companies use. You know, some are standalone that only looks at claims. Some are standalones that only look at certain aspects within the organization, like a leave system or whatever it is. Even if it's a standalone, you can download the necessary information and analyze it to see what the trends are within your organization. You can also merge it with other non-HR systems that are in your organization, like your finance system, your IT system, so that you can see trends that are happening within your organization. And that will be able to help you, not just you, but also your people in identifying the right tools that are needed, the right benefits that are needed, and so on.
All right, Shamini, I know we have a couple more themes to go, but we have to take a quick break now for some messages. Stay tuned. Resource Center will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. You're listening to Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. Shamini and Jacob from KPMG in Malaysia is online with me today, and we are discussing KPMG's recent HR health check survey and what organizations here need to do to get our HR departments back on track for a clean bill of health after the pandemic. Now, Shamini, where were we, you know, before I interrupted you before the break? I think we had a few more themes from the report to get through.
There's two more themes. One is the number five is performance management system to help you drive performance. All right. If you think about it in you know, talking about this whole pandemic, more and more organizations are starting to, if they're not already concerned, they are starting to realize they do not have a proper system to evaluate, track, and improve their overall performance. Again, if you talk about when I was in office, I could easily tell my people, you're not doing enough work, or I see you slacking off, you know, so start working on it. But again, now, because they are at home and I'm at home, how do I gauge that? So that's where things like KPI comes in. And that's where your performance management system comes in. You know, so how do you make sure that your performance management system is able to track your people accordingly? And it's not just tracking them to make sure that they do their work, but it's tracking them to make sure that the productivity of your organization doesn't slip. Okay, so now some of us are lucky enough to be project-based, where we have clear guidelines and deadlines to meet. But what if it's an operational system, operational part of the operations or your day-to-day of your work, you know, where you just have to complete the work every day without fail? So how do you then track that? That's where your good performance management system will help you do that.
Right. And okay, what's the last one, Shamini?
Last but not least, it's compensation and benefits.
Mm.
It needs to play, whether you like it or not, Com and Ben plays an important role in promoting your talent sustainability. You know, in this day and age, you need to acknowledge that you are in an organization that's multi-generational. Okay, you have your baby boomers and you go right down to the millennials now. Baby boomers look at different things as far as Com and Ben is concerned. Millennials look at different things. So how can you as an organization make sure that their needs are met? Okay, 75% of our respondents actually agreed that Com and Ben will help align employees with the organization business goals.
Mm.
So it's a high number.
Yeah.
But my question then is, are you doing enough? And the scary part is you can't unfortunately give your employees everything they want because you still need to manage your organizational costs. It's no point giving them everything and then 6 months later having to say, well, we've run out of money. And we either have to pull back the benefit or worse yet, close the business. So that balance of employee benefits versus organizational costs needs to be there.
When this is coming at a time where, you know, most organizations have actually had to cut back on compensation and benefits, you know, in order, it's for business survivability, business sustainability, you know, most of us have had to either take pay cuts or, you know, because we're working from home, maybe the number of leave days have been cut and things like that. So how do organizations manage that balance then, you know?
So the thing is, I think one of the things most organizations still grasping with is what does that compensation and benefit package look like?
Mm.
Sometimes it's not just about the money that is being given. You know, it's also about the various other initiatives that are happening. More and more organizations are leaning towards team building activities that can be done online. You know, to talk about the whole collaboration and working together. If you think about it, a lot of times, whilst compensation and benefits is important, it is not the be-all and end-all. You know, a lot of people are not just looking for monetary value, they are also looking to see what they can gain from the company. You know, so if you cannot pay them as much as you would like, what else can you do?
So like more flexibilities, you know, with work arrangements and things like that would count.
Yeah. So if you think about millennials, you know, I'm going to use my 20-year-old niece as an example. She can sleep at the drop of a hat. So now she's in university. She's doing online classes. So she wakes up for her class. And then the next thing you know, the light is off in her room because she's taking a nap in between classes. So if universities can do that, it's a lot easier for universities because they are class-based. But why can't organizations do that? What you want is for your employees to do their work, have the constant productivity or improve productivity, and also make sure that they remain in the organization, right? So how do you do that? Flexible working arrangements. Now, flexible working arrangements, for all intents and purposes, says you need to do your work and improve. So what does that look like for you and your organization? In working from home, does that mean I still need to sit at my desk from 8:30 to 5:30? No, It means I need to give a good solid 6 to 8 hours of work, finish my work, and finish it well. So why are you harping when you try and call me at 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm not at my desk?
Yeah, should be results driven, output driven.
Exactly.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Shamini, but this seems like the annual checkup your doctor advises you to go for. You know, it's indicative of health issues you could suffer from in the future and the course correction you need to undertake now so that you don't succumb to those illnesses in the future, right? So what kind of tangible issues could organizations be facing if they don't heed to the results of the health check? Like, you know, will this affect the bottom line? Will you see an exodus of talent? Like, you know, but what are the tangible issues that organizations could face if they don't take the results of this health check seriously?
Okay. So if you think about it, like you said, you know, like using the doctor as an example, if your doctor says, Shamini, if my doctor says, Shamini, you're sick, you need to stop doing certain things, but I still continue doing those things, what does that mean? Further down the road, I'm the one that's going to be suffering. And the same thing happens here. When a company does an organizational or HR health check and you don't act on it, chances are that's going to become worse. And ultimately, your people are going to be demotivated. When your people are demotivated, they become less productive. And if they're less productive, your bottom line is going to suffer. You know, and sometimes I think what's important is it doesn't necessarily have to be a big fix. It may be just a simple tweak in your organization that is needed to improve your employee well-being or improve your HR health check. If you are a large organization, then a HRIS becomes even more important because it helps you track your various people. But if you're in a smaller organization, you don't need to invest in a $1 million HRIS. A simple, straightforward one would do enough for you. So what is that tweak that is needed? That's where your HR health check helps, you know. And the repercussions, again, even though it's small tweak, if not done, can lead to big or negative results at the end of the day.
So earlier, Shamini, you mentioned how there seems to be a lot of focus and attention emphasized on the need for organizations to engage with employees during this time, especially, you know, since we're all working remotely. What is the best way to engage with them? You know, what kind of listening tools should organizations be employing, if you could suggest some?
Okay, so when you're talking about employee experience and employee well-being, who better to ask than the employee themselves what they want? You know, and there's two ways you can do this. One is have yearly or half a year, every half a year, do an employee survey. So list down, this is what we've done. Are you happy with it or not? You know, you are obviously going to have the majority that say yes or no and give you constructive feedback. You are obviously going to have outliers as well. Okay, so then after you do the survey, the next step then would be to have focus group discussions to throw away the noise and say, this is what we need to happen in the organization. Okay, so by doing surveys and then focus group discussions, you have a better idea as to what your people are looking for. And then you can compare it to how much money I have to make this work. All right. So you don't go all crazy and just throw away money that you don't have, you know, but work within the budget that you have. And as I said, sometimes it's a small tweak. I'm going to use KPMG again as an example. Okay. So over the next few months, in fact, we just had our advisory town hall earlier. And one of the things our PPC, which is our HR department, is doing is they've got a series of exercises coming up. You know, I think they're calling it sweat something, the sweat program or something like that.
These like physical exercises, like actual?
Yeah, so basically you get onto Microsoft Teams or whatever platform they've decided to use and do exercise, you know. So there's a Zumba class that's happening. So obviously yours truly is not going to be joining, you know.
It's optional.
Yeah, it's optional, you know, but it is there, you know. Right. And basically, so you've got the healthier people in KPMG that love doing exercise. You know, I've got one of the partners, you know, he, the other day we were talking and he was saying, I miss walking outdoors. And in my head, I'm going, are you nuts? I love the fact that I have a good excuse not to go out and do exercise. But there are people that are missing it.
Yeah.
So how can the company help? You've already got your platform that you use for work. So why don't you extend it to have Zumba classes?
Right. And you'll only know that your employees want these things if you are truly listening, correct?
Exactly. So if you that's a good point, Audrey, because if you do the survey and don't do anything about the results, you're asking for trouble because you're just saying, okay, I was told I need to do the employee survey, so I've done it and my work is done. You need to then take action on what the results are.
Now, Shamini, there's been plenty of talk about digital HR. You know, some vendors make it sound like it's the panacea to all remote working issues. But just so we're all on the same page, what is digital HR and how does or how can it impact HR and organizations out there?
Okay, so digital HR, as the name suggests, is basically leveraging on technology to digitalize your HR processes. Okay, and this then can help the organization transform to become more effective, competitive, and productive. Okay, if I use claims as a simple form. Previously, you had to fill out a form, sign the form, and give it to finance. So now a lot of companies do it digitally, where you scan the receipts and put it in their system, and finance gets it. So it's less paperwork, and it's highly effective because no longer do I need to walk down to finance or whatever it is to submit my claims.
Stick that receipt onto the claim form.
Yeah, those are painful. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, but exactly, because everything is digitalized now, it becomes more effective and efficient. All right. Now the good news is, whilst it has accelerated because of the pandemic, you know, a lot of organizations have had to digitalize their HR even faster now, even if their plans were, let's do it in 5 years or whatever it is, they've had to do it now because of the pandemic. According to our survey, 83% believe that technology investment in HR is now necessary. And it helps organization improve that employee experience we were talking about just now, as well as increases your effectiveness in the various HR processes. 66% have actually said they utilize their data to support decision making. Now, this is key. You know, you've now, so how many times have you heard your bosses say, show me the proof? So which digitalization you now have the data to support a decision that you are making within the organization.
And this is part of what you were talking about earlier as well, right? Using the data that's available using your HRIS, right? So
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, Shamini, can we recap some of the key takeaways from this year's HR health check? You know, what do organizations need to keep in mind or address in regards to their HR health and HR function? If you could just, you know, give us some advice moving forward.
So there are six areas that, so if you think about it, you know, not just the six areas, you know, but even if you are doing well, there's always room for improvement. Okay, so the six things I would leave you with, Audrey, is number one is relook at your learning and development initiatives. You know, don't use the pandemic as an excuse to stop training. There are various ways you can continue doing it within the organization. So please do continue it. You know, you cannot say it's a pandemic, I cannot train my people. Learning and development is still key. Number two, leverage on workforce analytics. So this is where your data comes in. You know, you've got your HRIS, leverage on it. Okay, leverage on whatever data your organization has, analyze it and work with it. Number three, invest in a good performance management system. This again then helps you with the workforce analytics that I just mentioned just now. Promote a well-balanced compensation and benefit plan. Okay, don't go all crazy and say, oh, BFM and KPMG said I need to redo my compensation and benefit. Relook at it and see what you can do to make it more relevant for your people. Right? Number five, have a proper succession plan, especially now when things are very uncertain. You do not know what's going to happen. Make sure you have your ducks in a row. Okay? Succession plan is going to be key. And last but not least, there needs to be a shift of looking at your employee well-being rather than just the bottom line. Because if you look after your people, your bottom line is automatically taken care of as well.
Mm. Right. All right. On that note, Chamani, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. If our listeners are keen to learn more about the KPMG HR Health Check, is there? Could you give us that website again that they can go to sign up and also to just get more information on this?
Yeah. So you can just go to the KPMG in Malaysia website, look for the People and Change tab, and you can go in there and the HR Health Check should be there. If not, there's a contact us. Just send us an email saying I'm interested in the HR Health Check and it will be routed to my team and I.
All right. I've been speaking with Chamani and Jacob from KPMG in Malaysia. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app. That's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I'll be back again same time next week for more on Resource Center. But till then, this is Audrey Raj for Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.